This is a recording of the November 19th, 2020 Fort Worth Housing Solutions Board of Commissioners meeting, scheduled to begin at 5 o'clock p.m. and held virtually. A portion of the beginning of the meeting was lost due to technical difficulties with the recording mechanism. This introduction is being given by Chris Key, Executive Assistant to the Board, from her notes. The meeting was called to order by Terry Attaway, Chair, at 5:05 p.m. and proceeded to announcements. Ms. Lemons announced that the board needs to pick a day during the first 2 weeks of December for a budget workshop. A poll will be conducted of them later. She also announced that Mr. C. Don Babers, our longtime consultant and friend, recently passed away and that he will be greatly missed. Ms. Lemons also announced that all in-person special events have been canceled. This is due to the COVID virus. On a brighter note, Fort Worth Housing Solutions has received 100 mainstream vouchers from HUD. The agency hopes to have these leased up by the end of January 2021. The rest of the meeting will begin with the live recording.
Vouchers this week through HUD. So we received an additional allocation earlier this year, but Sel and her team went after 100 more vouchers and we were awarded that. So that will go to help very vulnerable families in our community, and we're excited to get those out on the street.
Very good.
How do we determine, Mary Margaret, just a quick question, how do we determine who those go to? The need is so great, that's 100, that's great, but how do you determine that?
Mainstream is a special program, and we have gone through our wait list. We purged our wait list and called in everybody on the existing wait list. And then we have the ability to project base some of those. And so we'll most likely project base those for PSH projects going forward. So Sel's gonna make a recommendation and we'll bring that to you at a later date, but hopefully we can get it started in January and get those leased up rather quickly.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
That's all the announcements I have.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Yeah, and I said, I just want to say too, you know, especially all of us knew Mr. Babers, Dick, I meant to call you directly, but I was there. I went by the funeral home and I saw Tyler was there when I went. Just pretty amazing. What a great loss. I'm going to miss him so much, as is everybody. So, okay, thank you for getting that sick off to his family. So well, now we'll go on to public comments. I'll ask the moderator, do we have anyone that has a public comment?
County, given the just recent spike, I can't even put words with it, in COVID cases. I'm sure you're all watching the news and aware. So we have asked the staff for the last couple of weeks to go back to a very strict staggered schedule. We had gotten a little bit lax when the numbers were lower, and so we've been scheduled to really limit the number of people in the room at any or in the building at any given time. And we have had a few staff that have had to be quarantined. It has affected some of our scanning operations, but for the most part, we're able to still function fully and our clients haven't felt an impact. So we will, as I said earlier, be holding all events virtually, including our end of year all employee event. We'll unfortunately have to be virtual this year. And we are making plans in the event that there's further restrictions that come down or we feel the need to go 100% telework. I have the executive staff working on that so it could be implemented after the Thanksgiving break if required. So any questions on that before I get into, I was gonna go over a few CARES Act.
Okay, well, yes.
I was just gonna let you know that REAP has been keeping a very close eye on the additional funds we've received through the CARES Act, and has been working with individual departments to ensure that they're being spent accordingly. HUD has extended some of the due dates, so we don't have to spend them all by the end of the year. We do have the ability to go into next year, and this is greatly helping all of our operating budgets because we're not projected to cover any operating deficits like we normally do. So this year we won't have operating deficits to cover in any of the program areas. So I'll be happy to go through any detail if you want, but you'll see the revised budget as a later line item on your agenda.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll go forward. The next item is development and asset management update.
Kristen is going to put that report up on your screen, I think. So the development asset management team's been working really hard. I just did the closing, as soon as it gets up there. For Cambridge Court, I signed all the documents, so we are scheduled to close this month. And as you recall, we will be paying off that loan in conjunction with the RAG closing. And it is the 25th RAG closing that the agency has completed. So I take that very seriously, and I just want to congratulate all of our staff. It was a lot of hard work from 2015 to today to get that done. And we're excited to close out that part of our repositioning strategy. So we do have a few other closings that are upcoming. So Post Oak East will be refinanced, along with Sedona Village being refinanced. And we still are exploring the possible sale of Fair Oaks and Fair Park. And we've just completed the commercial inspection of the new corporate office. We're anticipating that closing by the end of the year as well. Wow. So if you look down on the pipeline corner there, we have Cowan Place, Harmon Homes, and the Opal. So that's 700 and almost 50 units in the pipeline. And then on the upper side, the initiatives, we are putting some parameters around our PFC transactions and internally documenting that, as well as making sure all of our MOUs are in line with that. We've been working very closely with TDHCA on upcoming projects for the QAP, with the 2021 QAP, and we're happy with some of the changes and the waivers that they've allowed. The development department will be going over some property condition assessments for the rest of the portfolio, as well as they've been working really hard on your 2021 budgets for all 40 properties. And then you see our under construction properties there, Stallion Ridge, Patriot Point, the River Standard at River District is very close. These are all things, Patriot Point and River District are actually in leasing right now. The Holston, the Huntley, and Casa de Esperanza, which is our PSH project, that should be up and running before Christmas to house 119 chronically homeless individuals. So that's almost 1,029 units that it looks like there. So any questions on what development's working on?
Okay. Thank you for that update. 40 properties. I was telling them yesterday, the other board members, when I started on the board, when I was on the board, we had three assets. Wow. Now we have 40. That's amazing. Good job, everybody. We are going to go to, and this will tell us really how we're doing, right? We're going to go to the next item is our 2019 audit presentation.
Yes, and we have Gabby Miller with us. So normally we see Mandy, but this year we get Gabby, and we're excited to have her with us and have her present our audit report. We had an audit committee meeting yesterday, and we just really appreciate the work and partnership to get through that, because as Terry said, it's 40 properties. So that's a lot, Gabby.
And I'll try and keep it to 3 minutes. Is that I saw on the agenda. Try and keep it to 3 minutes. So I will.
No, you're not.
No, that doesn't go for you.
Okay. I was like, oh no, that's going to be really fast.
I like that idea.
I'll try that. So like Mary Margaret said, I'm the manager on the job. And I will really briefly go over the presentation. Yesterday we had our audit committee meeting, and we went over things in a little bit more detail. So if you have any questions or if I'm going too fast, please just let me know. Blurt out. I don't mind. So you can go to the second slide. So the financial statements consist of the auditor's report, and there is an unmodified opinion, which is great. That's the best you can get. Then after the auditor's report is a management discussion analysis, or the MD&A, and that's what I'll go in the most in a few more slides. After that is the financial statements and the footnotes, and then after that is the supplementary information. Go to the next slide. And you can go to the next slide after this one. So this is the statement of net position, and this shows you the changes on the balance sheet during the year. And as you can see, there were pretty much every bucket has significant changes. You're a big entity, so there's a lot of activity, a lot of purchases, sales, and whatnot during the year. First off, the current assets, that is mostly, that increase of $39 million is mostly due to an increase in cash related to the sale of Villas of Oak Hills. You'll see a corresponding gain on the income statement. So that, and then next is that the decrease in non-current assets of $2.8 million, and that's mostly due to the write-off of a note receivable between Trinity and Sycamore Villas. I think on the books, it used to be 2.6 or 2.3, and all that was received was that $500,000. And then next up is an increase in capital assets of about $34 million, and you'll see a corresponding increase in non-current liabilities. So those are related to the new ground leases that you all entered into during the year, related to Stallion Ridge, Patriot Point, River District, High Point, and then I think the last one is the Holston. So when we put those on the books, that there's a corresponding ground lease, and we recognize the revenue over the life of the lease instead of recognizing all at once. You can go to the next slide. Oh, I guess the next few slides, you can go to the changes in. Go up. Down, sorry. The changes in revenues and expenses. I think it's the slide after this. It'll be slide 7. So here you'll see, this is the income statement or the changes in revenues, or the revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. So here you'll see a pretty big decrease in tenant revenue, and that's related to the sale of Villas of Oak Hill. And then also tenants moving out of your public housing properties, Butler and Cavell, during the year. And you also see an increase in government grants and a corresponding increase in housing assistance payments. That's just related to increase in activity for the HGVP program. And then the increase in other is mostly related to your related party transactions, developer fees, other related party fees that y'all earn during the year. And then as you can see, like I mentioned earlier, there is that gain loss and sale on of Villas of Oak Hill of about $35 million. You can go to the next two slides to the graphs. So this PowerPoint does not go over well on PDF. I promise it looked better in PowerPoint. So this is just a graph of the admin revenue versus the admin expense. As you can see, pretty much year over year, the expense outweighs the administrative revenue for HGVP, but it has been increasing slightly each year as the program grows. You can go to the next slide. And then this is a graph of the HVP, the HAP expenses versus the HAP revenue. And it's kind of same with the administrative. The revenue and the expenses are pretty similar. And they have, this year they increased substantially as the program grows. And then you can go to the next slide. So there was stuff on there. So significant disclosures. You can see, oh, that's pretty. the cash and cash equivalents, related party transactions, and then the big footnote is related to the mortgage and note payable. So any debt that's on the books related to primary government, as well as the discreetly presented component units or the LPs that you are general partners in, is going to be in that, I think it's 4 or 5 page footnote. So it's really detailed. Okay, the next slide. The water report, we tested 2 programs, HGVP and public housing. There were no federal program findings. there was a financial statement finding related to financial reporting, and that's mostly just related to the related party transactions and the reporting of them. This year we had many journal entries to record them correctly. And then there was no single audit findings, as I just mentioned. And so the management letter, cash collateral, there's about $100,000 of cash that's not collateralized. And then the next letter comment was regarding allowances for receivables, just a recommendation to review and evaluate the collectability of the receivables that are recorded on the book. And then next was the timing of the group audits. As y'all mentioned previously, you have about 40 entities and about four different or five different auditors of these entities. And they all roll up into the main housing authority's audit. So as due to COVID, there were some delays, which ultimately delayed our issuance. And then next is HVP QC inspections. The QC and re-inspections being a little bit more timely, just to get the benefit out of them. And then the public housing depository agreement with Quadco could not be located. And then the last slide is just our required communications that we perform our audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards, as well as government auditing standards. We do evaluate the accounting policies and the estimates and make sure that all the required disclosures are in the financial statements. Attached to our governance letters also are adjusting journal entries and our uncorrected journal entries. And then lastly, just have to let y'all know that management does have ultimate responsibility over the financial statements and represents over that. I think that was it. We wanted to thank the staff. Everyone is always great to work with, very responsive, very knowledgeable. Does anyone have any questions?
Impressive.
Sorry, I went a little fast.
No, you did good. We went over this in the audit committee yesterday, and at least speaking for myself, I think everything looked good. Really didn't have any concerns, and appreciate the work that Risa and her staff do every year to keep us in a good position. And CLA as well. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we love working with all of y'all.
Thank you very much.
Do we need to make a motion or do any action on this, or move forward to the next agenda item, Terry?
What were you asking for, Mary Margaret?
I was just going
to... Okay, here you go.
We just need to move on to item D on the agenda, I believe, unless there's any questions on the audit.
Okay, move on to the resolution. Is that what you said?
Yep, item D.
Yes, okay, gotcha. Yes, I was talking and you didn't know that. So, okay, we are going to the next item, which is resolution. Thank you again, Gabby. I said all of that too, and that you did, Mandy, very well. So thank you again. So next is the resolution approving the revised operating budget for the Central Office Cost Center for fiscal year ending December 31, 2020.
I do have Risa in the room if you have any questions, but I have the highlights that I can go over with you. We are expected to have a projected increase in the Central Office Cost Center because of some CARES Act funding. So we have about $537,000 that we've planned to draw down in the year 2020. And we did increase in transfers from the discretionary funds for the purchase of the new building in the amount of about $6 million. And we expect that any further expense for that will occur in 2021. And we did receive additional capital fund administration fees, a little over $400,000 due to higher cost of administration of the grants during the pandemic. And they have allowed complete fungibility as well, HUD has. There's been a reduction in the transfer from discretionary funds to balance its own budget and to cover operating deficits from other programs in the amount of $2.6 million. And the total management fees decreased by a little over $280,000. You have all of this in your packet, so stop me if I'm going over too much or you have any questions. Investment income was just down a little over $8,000, and the operating subsidy fee increased a little over $6,000. Our expenses increased by a little over $5 million this year. And again, it's that new office building, COVID-19 expenses, and a decrease in various expense line items just due to shifting everything under the COVID-19 line items. We have a decrease in various expenses due to changes in operations brought about by the pandemic, and a decrease in capital expenditures of $483,000 due to the IT plant equipment and replacements that will be carried over into 2021. And so, as I said previously, the COC is not projected to cover any operating deficits for programs in 2020. Any questions on that before?
I don't have any.
Yep, I don't either. If we don't have any other questions, can we have a motion?
Yeah, this is Michael. I move approval.
Okay. This is Brittany, and I would like to second.
Okay, thank you, Brittany. And it's been moved and properly second. All in favor, Danny Scarth?
Aye.
Dick Stinson?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Brittany Hall?
Aye.
And Michael Ramirez?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passed.
Is a resolution approving the revised operating budget for the housing choice voucher.
Can't hear.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Now it's okay. Better.
Oh, okay. Resolution approving the operating budget for the housing choice voucher, mainstream, and special programs for fiscal year ending December 31, 2020.
And I can go over those highlights if you would like. Reza puts them together so nicely for us. So the housing choice voucher and mainstream programs did receive additional CARES supplemental funds as well. So the total income increased by about $5.5 million. Part of that is related to 1.6 from CARES funds, and that's for HCV, and then 33,000 for the mainstream program. We actually got an increase in our administrative fee, which is very nice, and we don't typically expect that. So that increased by $330,000 as well this year. And then the total HAP revenue increased by $3.5 million. And so this represents an increase in HCV HAP of 4.2 due to PBV, tenant protection vouchers, and a decrease in mainstream HAP of $630,000. And that was just due to underutilization of 200 vouchers. So the expenses also increased by 4.4, and that's mainly related to COVID expenses. And our CARES Act will have a balance of $211,000 at the end of the year to move forward into 2021. We balanced the budget, and we don't need to transfer funds from the COC to either one of these programs. And special programs, I guess I can talk about it, but it's so little it seems kind of silly at this point. There's a very slight increase of $227 in administrative fees. The HAP revenue will increase by almost $25,000. So there's been no change in the VASH HAP projection. There is a decrease of total expenses of $9,200. We balance that budget as well, and we won't have to transfer any money from the COC.
Okay, great. So Celestine will be able to operate not at a loss right now because of the extra funds?
Absolutely. She's so excited about that. And we use a lot of that extra CARES money to expand the technology and the paperless systems. Mm-hmm. And so it's all being done right now, when I say good things come out of COVID, this is one of the good things that's come out of COVID.
Got it. Okay. Any questions or comments? Anybody? Nope. If not, may I have a motion for approval?
Move for approval. It's Danny.
Okay. And second?
I'll second it, Stinson.
Okay. Thank you. It's been moved to second.
by Danny Scarth and Dick Stinson. All in favor say aye. Michael Ramirez.
Aye.
Brittany Hall.
Aye.
And Dick Stinson.
Aye.
And Danny Scarth.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Next item, resolution authorizing the Housing Development Corporation of Fort Worth to accept donations on behalf of the Stop Six Neighborhood Redevelopment.
So this, I'm really excited to bring this to you. We have a 501c3 on the books named the Housing Development Corporation of Fort Worth. It was used many years ago to buy assets and has a little bit of money sitting in it. I've asked Risa to clear out the books and transfer that money so we have a zero balance and we can start accepting donations from private foundations to assist with the CNI development in Cavill. So for the last year or so, we've been trying to get support from the both corporate community and foundations here in town. I can report to you that I got a call from John Robinson over at the Eamon Carter Foundation. And he's let me know the board approved $375,000 for pre-planning of the neighborhood hub that we can use before the hub is on the 2022 bond. So we have two other requests out to particular foundations, and we're very very excited and expect favorable results out of that to be able to get city money and match that planning process. So we're just asking, we wanted to make you aware of it and asking for your approval to accept these donations for the use in the Choice neighborhood.
Okay. That seems like an easy one. Do I have a motion?
I'd like to move this. Oh,
go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Brittany.
Oh, this is Brittany Hall, and I would like to move
approval. Thank you, Brittany. And second, Dick, was that?
That's Michael. I'll second.
Oh, that's Michael. Okay. Thank you. It's been moved and second. All in favor, Danny Scarth?
Aye.
Dick Stinson?
Aye.
Brittany Hall?
Aye.
And Michael Ramirez?
Aye.
Okay, it's been approved. Thank you. Getting money in for us was always great. So that's a good one. All right, next one. Consider a resolution to accept an amended MOU, finalized financial terms, and to submit application for a 4% tax credit for Cowan Place. Sorry.
So you guys have seen this before. It was under a 9% tax credit application last year. And because it was unsuccessful in a 9% competitive round, we have pivoted and made it a 4% non-competitive. So we just wanted to bring it back before you with the updated terms and under the correct tax credit program. As a result of changing from 9 to 4, the size of the development has increased, and so pro rata everything else has increased as far as funding and sources. So we do have city funds that are committed to this, as well as some soft money from Fort Worth Housing that will be expected to close as well. So it'll be a total of 174 units. It's a senior property, and it'll be the first phase under the Choice neighborhood development.
Got it.
Perfect.
Okay. And no
so
question. Okay, thank
this
you.
This is Michael.
Thank you.
Stinson will second.
Okay, thank you very much. It's been moved and second. All in favor, Danny Scarth?
Aye.
Brittany Hall?
Aye.
Dick Stinson?
Aye.
And Michael Ramirez?
Aye.
Great. Motion passes. Next item, consider a resolution to execute an amended MOU with Amtec to facilitate the acquisition and development of the Opal.
Can I ask you to table this item, Terry, till next month? We just want to put a little bit more detail around the PFC transactions before they come to you so we can memorialize them properly. So it'll be on your December agenda if you don't have any objections to that.
I have no objections at all. Thank you. Okay. With that statement, then we are going to be ready to go into executive session at 5:39 p.m. Our executive session is closed and authorized by Texas Open Meetings Act exemptions to require that meetings be open. Section 551071 to 551090 as applicable. You're going to receive, those of you that are going into executive session should have a new link for that. Executive session will be 551072 to deliberate the possible purchase, change, exchange, lease, or value of real property. 551071, consultation with an attorney. 551074, deliberation on personnel matters, the president's review, and contract renewal. So it is now 5:40. We'll give it just a few minutes and start executive session shortly.
You okay. Yourself, Mr. Stinson, and Mr. Ramirez all logged in as panelists.
Okay, great. All right, so we are going to reconvene for our regular session decision or vote with regard to any matter considered in the executive session at 6:03 p.m. One item, I would like to make a motion to extend the contract of our current president, Mary Margaret Lemons, for an additional 3 years based on terms that were discussed in executive session.
I'll second that.
Okay. So it's been moved by Terry Attaway, second by Michael Ramirez. All in favor, Dick Stinson?
Aye.
Okay. Brittany Hall, if you're there, I don't know if she's there. If not, it's been moved and properly seconded. All in favor have said aye. That motion indeed.
Hello. Sorry, y'all. I didn't know how to unmute the phone.
Oh, okay.
But
all right. So did you give us you heard it then. Did you give us an aye on that as well for the record?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I don't think you thought I was on here, but aye for Brittany.
Okay, got it. I was thinking you might have been there. Okay, so that is done. At this time, we can adjourn this meeting at 6:04 p.m.
Very good.
Okay.
And we need to go to the public hearing at the back of the agenda packet.
Okay. What is this? The Housing Development Corporation?
We'll have to come back to that one. That one... Okay. Is a subsidiary meeting. We need to go to the agency plan meeting.
Okay. Will you pull that? Is he putting that up in front of us?
Yes.
I can see it. So we do now want to start the meeting of our agency plan. Let me see, as soon as this gets up for us. I don't think I hit my whole, just so I can see the agenda.
Keep going. It's tab 17.
Page 116 of the PDF.
Okay.
I think it's up on the screen now.
Okay, yes, it is. So we are starting the meeting for the public hearing of the 2021 agency plan at 6:05 p.m. Via teleconference on November 19th. Pursuant to the March 16th, 2020, my thing is going away. Stop. Notice issued by the Office of the Texas Attorney General and in accordance with applicable portions of the Texas Open Meetings Act, this meeting is being held as a virtual conference. First item, we've called the public hearing to order at 6:05 p.m. First item on the agenda is overview of the agency plan.
Hi, that's me for you today.
Yes.
So normally that would be Sellerstein, and she and Kristen actually did a joint kind of, they jointly did this, and they did a great job of getting our agency plan together. And so, it includes updates and revisions to the following areas: statement of housing needs and strategy for addressing housing needs. We use data from the National Low Income Housing Coalition and Tarrant County's consolidated plan, as well as the 2018 city assessment of fair housing, our wait list, and they all, of course, illustrate an increasing need for affordable housing that we're able to document very well. We've made some updates for financial resources as they relate to the CARES Act supplemental funding. And then operations and management, we've made some changes to the admin plan and ACOP. Since the last agency plan includes SDACA policy, which only felony drug-related criminal activity rather than misdemeanor drug-related criminal activity within the last 5 years were disqualifying. We've deleted obsolete admissions preferences. We've created new homeless preferences as required by the mainstream grant. And we've made the addition of a VAWA preference for victims of domestic violence in RAD and public housing. So the agency plan includes new activities planned for 2021. The categories are choice neighborhood. So obviously the $35 million grant for the redevelopment of Cavill, demolition or disposition. We've included the demolition for the 300 units at Cavill, which we have Section 18 approval for. We have streamlined voluntary conversion included, including the demolition or disposition of remaining public housing units. And we also have the disposition of vacant land where Whispering Oaks was once located. We've also changed the following categories: conversion of public housing to project-based assistance under RAD. FWHS has completed the RAD conversion of 448 public housing units, and we will continue the development and construction of those units. So all of the RAD information has, or all the RAD transactions have closed under delayed HAP agreements. We also have project-based vouchers. We plan to at least do 6 PBV projects for a total of 371 units, if not more, now that we have additional vouchers available. So we also included a progress report on our mission and goals established in our 5-year plan, and the goals include creating a diverse and economically sustainable real estate portfolio, providing a foundation for improving lives, developing a continuously improving and efficient operation, and develop a sustainable business model. And so we did have both in-person and Zoom meetings scheduled for the resident advisory board. We did not have any attendees to those meetings. We've also sent a draft to the city of Fort Worth to make sure it was consistent with the city's consolidated plan. Any questions on the agency plan for 2021?
Not for me.
No, ma'am.
Terry, do you want to ask for public comments? I don't think we have anybody registered, but.
Sorry, I was on mute again. I'm sorry. Yes. Are there any public comments out there from our moderator? Okay.
No, ma'am.
Okay. And you included all your key points, which was item 3, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. At this point, we would like to consider a resolution approving the 2021 agency plan.
So moved, Stinson.
Okay.
Second, Brittany.
Okay, thank you. Been approved, and motion's been made and second. All in favor? So Dick Stinson?
Aye.
Brittany Hall?
Aye.
And Michael Ramirez?
Aye.
Great, motion passes. Thank you. At this point, we can now adjourn this meeting of our 2021 agency plan at 6:10 p.m. Okay.
Right, are we done?
We have three small affiliate meetings.
Right.
Okay.
Very really quickly. We'll get those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. First meeting is the Housing Development Corporation of Fort Worth. We'll call this meeting to order at 6:11 p.m. I have to read that again. Pursuant to the March 16th, 2000, do I have to read that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. March 16th, 2020, notice issued by the Office of the Texas Attorney General and in accordance with applicable portions of the Texas Open Meetings Act. This meeting is being held as a virtual conference. We call the meeting to order at 6:11 p.m. First item is approval of the minutes from the annual meeting held February 20, 2020. Motion.
I'd like to move, Brittany.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye. Brittany Hall?
Aye.
Dick Stinson?
Aye.
Michael Ramirez?
Aye. I'm sorry. I was trying to second that. I hit the wrong button and I couldn't figure out how to unmute.
We understand. Oh, my goodness. All right, the next item is to consider a resolution to enable the Housing Development Corporation of Fort Worth to accept donations on behalf of the Stop Six redevelopment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. All in favor say aye. Brittany Hall?
Aye.
Dick Stinson?
Aye.
Michael Ramirez?
Aye.
Motion passes. This meeting is now adjourned at 6:13 p.m. In just a minute. Okay. The next meeting is for the Cinco Public Facility Corporation. Pursuant to the March 16, 2020 notice issued by the Office of the Texas Attorney General and in accordance with applicable portions of the Texas Open Meeting Act, this meeting is being held as a virtual conference. We'll call this meeting to order at 6:13 p.m. First item is election of officers.
I think it was just, I don't know that we have to elect. Oh, wait, is it election of officers?
That's what it says.
Oh, Cinco, sorry. I was still back on the other one. I'm using a paper version. Okay. Michael, can you?
Yeah, so what are we doing? Forgive me. Terry, I don't see enough times. But Terry is president.
Yes.
And then Dick is vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mary Margaret as secretary of treasurer.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Terry Attaway as president, Dick Stinson as vice president, and Mary Margaret Lemons as secretary treasurer of
Cinco.
Of Cinco. Public. Yeah, Cinco Public Facility Corporation.
Thank you. Okay. Accept it. Do we have to? Okay.
We just need a second on that.
Yeah. Second from one of you two?
I'd like to second Brittany Hall.
Thank you. So it's been moved in second. All in favor, Michael Ramirez?
Aye.
Brittany Hall?
Aye.
And Dennis Dick Stinson?
Mr. Yeah. Stinson, are you muted?
You there?
It looks like he's dropped off from our end, Terry. We still have a quorum with the three of you, though.
Yeah. Okay. Then it's been moved and second. That passes. Next item is approval of the minutes from the organizational meeting held February 27,
2004. So moved, Michael.
Okay. Second, Brittany.
Okay. It's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye. That would be Michael Ramirez.
Aye.
And Brittany Hall.
Aye.
Okay, great. Motion passes. Next item is consider a resolution to reactivate Cinco Public Facility Corporation under amended and restated bylaws.
We're doing some corporate governance cleanup, and this is one of the PFCs that we have on the books that hasn't been utilized. And mm-hmm. so in order to make sure that everything was current, we did a review of its bylaws, and they needed to be updated to match other bylaws of the agency. And so we've done that, and that's the reason we had the officers elected and the organizational minutes from previous meetings approved. So we're just getting it up to date so we can use it going forward.
Okay.
All right, so moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye. Michael Ramirez.
Aye.
And Brittany Hall.
And Mr. Stinson is.
Okay. Ms. Dick Stinson? Do we have aye?
I'm having a hard time with this. Where are we?
We are on the Cinco Public Facility Corporation. Just finishing up.
Yes. What you need a vote or a.
Yes, if you would just give us your approval on reactivating Cinco Public Facility Corporation. That's what we just did. Okay, great. All right, so it's been moved and accepted. That motion passes. We will now adjourn this meeting at 6:17 p.m. Anything, do I have one more?
One more, Fort Worth Affordability.
Okay. All right, we will open a meeting for Fort Worth Affordability, Inc. Pursuant to the March 16th, 2020 notice issued by the Office of the Texas Attorney General and in accordance with applicable portions of the Texas Open Meeting Act, this meeting is being held as a virtual conference. We'll call this meeting to order at 6:18 p.m. First item is approval of the minutes from the special meeting held September 17, 2020.
So moved, Ramirez.
Second, Stinson.
Okay, it's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye, Michael Ramirez.
Aye.
Brittany Hall.
Aye.
Dick Stinson.
Aye.
Great, motion passes for the approval of the minutes. The next item is consider a resolution to accept an amended MOU, finalize financial terms, and to submit an application for a 4% tax credit for Cowan Place.
So moved, Ramirez.
Second, Brittany.
Okay. It's been moved and second. All in favor say aye. Dick Stinson?
Aye.
Brittany Hall?
Aye.
Michael Ramirez?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We will now adjourn this meeting of Fort Worth Affordability at 6:19 p.m. At this point, I believe we are done with all the necessary meetings for today's board meeting, and we can bid you good night and thank you for your participation.
Thanks, you guys. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Yeah, have a good evening.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.